The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso. And you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. By the time you're listening to this, those of us here at Freedom Fellowship Church will have just finished celebrating the Passover. And for some of you, you might be listening to this on Resurrection Sunday. Why? Because this is the weekend where Jesus went to the cross, took on our sin, went into the grave, and then rose again in 3 days. So it's such a wonderful day to celebrate. The goodness of God that despite ourselves, he loved us so much that he was willing to send his only son to ransom us with his blood. And we will forever be praising the Lord and thanking Jesus for what he did. What I want to share to you is that some of you might have heard what I just said and might kind of scratch your head thinking, oh, you guys celebrate the Passover, which is true. At Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God International, we celebrate Passover, and we do it the Friday before Resurrection Sunday. Now, the reason why we do this is because, you know, you think about the Last Supper, how Jesus took the bread, he took the wine, but the Bible tells us that the Last Supper that we know is so famous, that they celebrated, well, that was the Passover feast. It says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 17, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? And he replied, right, you're going to go into town, you're going to see this man, he's going to have a room for you, and everything happens as Jesus said. So when Jesus talks about, you know, and he takes the bread, he takes the wine and does all these things. And he says, do this in remembrance of me, right? It's not just taking bread, but it was in the context of this Passover celebration. So we celebrate Passover and we do it in remembrance of Jesus. And so what this means is that we don't necessarily do a traditional Seder meal and go through all the rituals that the Jewish people do under the Old Covenant. We talk about the Passover celebration, but we contextualize it where Jesus is our Passover lamb now. When we take the bread, we're taking Jesus's body that was broken for us. When we take the wine, we're taking the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us. So the Jewish people celebrate Passover in remembrance of Exodus, right? That they were slaves to the Egyptians, and then God delivered them through mighty works, and this final plague came. The plague where the death angel came and took the firstborn of every household. And God's instructions to the Israelites were these. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people that there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be year-old males without any defects. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the house where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire. With the head, legs, and internal organs, do not leave any of it until morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Right? So this lamb was a year-old lamb with no blemishes, no spots, no wrinkles, and it was going to live with the family for several days. Then they were going to kill the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost, and when the death angel saw the lamb's blood, it would pass over that household. And so the Israelites were saved from slavery to the Egyptians, but they were also saved from this death and destruction that was coming. Okay? So at Freedom Fellowship Church, when we celebrate Passover, we do so knowing, right, the Israelites, they celebrate Passover and the freedom of slavery to the Egyptians. We celebrate Passover knowing that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And it's a joyous time, right? Everyone's able to come together and focus on Jesus. And so it's such a great thing because it's bringing this festival into the new covenant. Now, the cool thing too about celebrating the Passover is that you come to understand some of the cultural context with which Jesus and the disciples had their Last Supper. Because, you know, we do communion, we have the bread, we have the wine. Many of us don't recognize much of the symbolism that the disciples would have understood that Jesus was doing. And let me explain it like this. During Passover, you have four cups that you drink. You also have three pieces of bread that you eat. Before the meal, there are two cups, the cup of sanctification, the cup of deliverance, or sometimes it's called the cup of plagues. Then you have another two cups after the meal. You have the cup of redemption, and you have the cup of praise. And these cups go along with the promises that God gave the Israelites in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And it says this, "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." So there's four promises that get grouped together in here. That I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. This is the cup of sanctification that happens at the beginning of the meal. And they have a blessing of sanctification and all of these things. The second one, I will rescue you from their bondage, or also translates to I will deliver you. Okay? So this is the cup of deliverance and also the cup of plagues because it happens when they're talking about the plagues of Egypt. The third cup is I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And then the fourth one is I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Now, this is something that they had been celebrating. The Israelites have been celebrating for thousands of years now in this manner. Four cups, three pieces of bread, and also the lamb and all these other steps that they go through. Now, what happens is that now, the other important piece of the Passover celebration is the bread. And in a traditional Passover celebration, they have three pieces of bread, one for each of the three patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay? Now, what happens is that they partake of all these pieces of bread. But what they do is they break the second one, the second piece of bread, and the larger of the two pieces they hide away, and they call it the afikomen. And what happens is that during the meal and before they meal, they will eat from these pieces, but they will not eat of the afikomen. The afikomen is hidden away. It's something that's for a future time. It's not for now. At least that's how the Israelites celebrate it. And what happens is that usually after the meal, they have this game where it's like, okay, kids, now you're going to go find the afikomen, right? And so it's this symbol of something that is still to come, that has not yet manifested yet. And many of the Jewish people don't even realize that this is there in their own celebration. Okay, so they'll break the middle bread, the one that represents Isaac. They'll take the bigger piece of the two and hide it away, because that's not for now. We'll eat of these three, these leftover pieces, but we will not eat of the afikomen. Okay? Now, this is something that's really cool. So now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 26, it says in verse 26, while they were still eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Now think about what I just said earlier. Before the meal and during the meal, they'll eat of the other pieces of bread, but they will not eat of the afikomen, this bread that is hidden away. See, and at Freedom Fellowship Church, we believe that Jesus in this moment took that bread that was reserved for after the meal, that the kids, you know, are going to go find, they're going to go search for. We got to go find the afikomen because it's a hidden thing. It's not for now, but now it's a game. We're going to go find it. Jesus took this bread, this thing that you have been waiting for, that you've been searching for. It's here and now, and it's my body. Isn't that cool? And not only that, the second piece of bread, right, is representative of Isaac. And that bread gets broken, and the smaller piece is left behind. When Abraham was on the earth, the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his only son. And so Isaac was this small sacrifice. And then what did Abraham say? The Lord himself will provide the lamb, right? So the bread that they would eat for now was the small sacrifice, Isaac, that Abraham was willing to give. And there was a bigger sacrifice yet to come that was hidden away until now. And so Jesus took that larger piece of bread and said, this is my body. So he was saying to his disciples, this bigger sacrifice, this thing that you've been waiting for, this thing that your people have been searching for is here and now, and it's me. Isn't that cool? Then it says in verse 27, then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? Now, remember what I said earlier. They drink two cups before the meal and two cups after the meal. And what did it say here in the scripture? While they were still eating. Okay, so they've already drank in the first two cups, and they're now on the third cup. Well, do you remember what each cup represents? Cup one, sanctification. Cup two, deliverance or plagues. And cup three, redemption. Jesus took the cup of redemption, where it says in Exodus, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. He took that cup and he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that amazing? And his disciples would have known the symbolism of this cup. They would have known this was the cup of redemption. And so they partook of that cup, the cup of redemption with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And you see, when we read the passage without knowing this historical and cultural context, we miss all of this stuff that Jesus was saying implicitly that was understood by the disciples because of the culture they grew up in. Right? It's such a cool thing, because when you know the Passover celebration that they celebrated, you get to learn more about what Jesus was saying and what his disciples were doing and what they were thinking. It's really amazing. And the other thing that's interesting too is that this is also a way in which Jesus broke tradition, right? So the afikomen that Jesus took was not supposed to be eaten as part of the regular meal. He took the bread that was hidden away and he said, this is my body, right? He broke tradition. And not only that, it says while they were still eating. So he interrupted the meal and he took the bread. And he still interrupted the meal and he took the wine that's supposed to be for after the meal. So he took this old covenant celebration and brought it into the new covenant. He broke the tradition and really transformed it into something completely new. But Jesus' breaking of tradition actually didn't end there, right? So there's four cups that they drink: sanctification, deliverance, redemption, and praise, okay? So he says, "This is my blood, which the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins," right? And that was the cup of redemption. Now in verse 29, Jesus says, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So Jesus broke tradition again. He didn't drink the fourth cup, which is the cup of praise, where I will take you as my own people and I will be your God, right? And it's a cup of celebration and praise that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That the glory of the Lord inhabits the earth like the waters cover the sea, right? It's a praise and celebration that the will of God has manifested here on earth as it is in heaven, right? So Jesus said, "I'm not partaking of this cup because now is not the time. I am finishing the work of the redemption right now," right? Because Jesus was finishing his job, right? So he took the cup of redemption, he drank it, and then he went to the cross. Why? Because we're going to have the cup of praise after he's risen from the grave. So Jesus said, "I'm not going to drink again of this cup until I drink it new with you, with my Father," right? So that's the cup we're going to be drinking at the wedding supper of the Lamb, where it's going to be a big party celebrating Jesus, celebrating God, and the great things that he has done. You see how just knowing a little bit of these things, it kind of breathes new life into the scripture that we've read so much. We've read so much about taking the bread, about taking the wine, and we do it in remembrance of Jesus. Well, now we know the whole Passover celebration, all of it is done in remembrance of Jesus. He completely changed the meaning of it and made it something richer and deeper and something that it wasn't just for the Jews. It was for everyone. Anyone who would believe in Jesus can now partake in the Passover celebration, knowing that Jesus is our Passover lamb. So anyway, that's why we celebrate Passover at Freedom Fellowship Church. And it really makes it to where the whole weekend is a big celebration, because Friday we have the Passover feast celebrating him as our Passover lamb. And then Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is so central to our faith. Our entire belief system hinges on it. And so we turn it into a big celebration where we're singing praises to Jesus. We're celebrating Jesus. Because if not for his resurrection, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be reconciled with the Father God. And if there's anything that you should take out of today's message, it's that remember that God was willing to sacrifice his own son for you so that you could be reconciled with God. And the best way that we can repay him is to live the life that he called us to live. That's the best way we can repay him. Think of it like this. David, the best life that he could have lived for God was becoming the king that God called him to be. Abraham, the best life that he could have lived and the best way he could have given gratitude and thankfulness to God is to become the father of many nations that God called him to be. Right? And all of these things require us to lay down our life, our plans, the kind of schedule or timeline you worked out for your own life, and instead say, "God, I want your life. The life that you have for me, that's what I want." Because Abraham left everything behind. You know, maybe he had a career planned out. Or he had, you know, a specific retirement plan or investment plan or strategies. He had all kinds of things and his friends and his family. And God said, "Leave everything behind and go to a land I will show you." Abraham didn't even know where he was going, but he decided, "I want what God has for me." And it ended up being so much bigger than anything he could have imagined for himself. He became the father of many nations, and through his line, all nations on earth were blessed through Jesus Christ. Right? That's way, way bigger than anything he would imagine for himself. Think also of David. What David's plans might have been. Maybe he just wanted, you know, better tools to help take care of his sheep. Maybe he didn't want to have to take care of the sheep, right? Maybe he just wanted his brothers to respect him, or he just wanted a different career, or whatever it was. But I guarantee you, nothing on David's checklist was becoming king of Israel and Judah. But he still had to walk in faith to the Lord. So I want to tell you, look, go before the Lord. And you can decide today, God, I want what you want in my life. And God will transform your life in ways you never would have expected. So much so that you will become a new person. That means that, yeah, the old has passed away. The mistakes you made in the past, wiped clean by the blood of Jesus. The times that you lied were not trustworthy. The times that you failed, wiped clean by the blood of Jesus. But what this also means is that the good things also are wiped clean. The things that you enjoyed doing in the past, wiped clean. And instead, you can choose now to embrace the things of God. And what you will find there is a life full of joy and fulfillment and the presence and blessing of God. And it is a life worth living. And that's the exciting thing, is that if you choose today to follow God, you'll lose your life, the life that you had, but you will gain a life that is way, way more fulfilling and joyful than you ever could have imagined. So I want to invite all of you, choose today to begin your great adventure with God. Because what Jesus endured on that cross, as they mocked him, spat on him, whipped him, beat him, nailed him to the cross, and he could have in any moment called upon legions of angels, right? And that's what, you know, he says to Peter. Peter takes his sword out and tries to attack one of the Roman soldiers, cuts his ear off, and Jesus says to him, Peter, at any moment, I could call upon legions of angels, right? Jesus could have stopped it, but he chose to suffer for our sake. He even asked the Lord, Lord, if it possible, take this cup away from me, but nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. And they mocked him on the cross. Oh, he could save others, but he can't save himself. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it's through that sacrifice that we now can receive healing, restoration, and eternal life. And we'll forever be grateful for it. So, dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the word that has been released today, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to pour out your blood, to have your body broken, whipped, beaten, for our sakes. We will never forget the good things that you have done for us. But Lord, we will make you proud, and we're going to show our gratitude to you by living the life you called us to live. I pray, Lord, that those that have been touched by the message today, Lord, that you will even connect them with God-fearing men and women that will show them the ways of God. But also, God, I pray that they would encounter you and your love in a way that they've never encountered before. And that they would choose this day, God, I want to serve you. God, I don't want to make you wait anymore. God, I will serve you and I will honor you all of my days. And I pray, God, that as they make that choice, their eyes will be open to the spiritual realm and they will encounter you in a way that they've never encountered you before. We thank you, God, for all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.